It's a wonderful pleasure and privilege to be here this afternoon, and of course always to come to the Denton Lectures. We certainly rejoice in the good success of these lectures because we rejoice in the Word of God being preached. And we believe it's always preached in firmness and fullness and faithfulness here, and for that we're very grateful. We, of course, try to uphold the hands of all who uphold the truth, and we believe that this is one of those lectureships that desires to see and to walk in the way of the Lord and do those things which God has commanded. Maggie and I are very happy to be here this afternoon. And throughout the years that we've been privileged to come to the Denton Lectures, we've always had a warm welcome, and we've always enjoyed the friendship of many good brethren in Christ, and for that we're so very grateful. I'm very happy, too, that the Sieberts are here this afternoon. I tried to get Midge to stay and work. She wouldn't do it. She said, no, just let it go. Y'all are leaving. I'm leaving, too. And so Brother Moore's here, the students from the Southwest School of Bible Studies, and we're very happy that each of those are here. Of course, we also have our brother and sister Marion Tate and others from Southwest, whom we're very happy are here today. And we have some former students who are in the audience, and we're always glad to see them again. Of course, all of these students, if you've ever worked in schools of preaching, seem like your own sons and daughters in the gospel. And so we are so very proud of them. Brother Tooley, who led the songs for us a minute ago, is an excellent song leader and also an excellent preacher, and we're very proud of him. Tomorrow afternoon at the noon hour, at the Wyatt's Cafeteria, we will be having the Southwest School of Bible Studies Supporters Dinner. And we would invite all of you to come. We each year have had a very fine audience there and participation, and we want you to know how much it means to us and how much we appreciate your support in trying to keep this work going as it is. Brother Joseph Mutter is in Jerusalem right now, and he is learning how to dig. And so we are anxious for him to get home. Some people want new water systems in their front yard, and some people need new septic tanks, and we understand now that he knows how to dig. So if the Jews can't teach you, I don't know who can. And we're looking forward to his return. But he will not be with us tomorrow, but we will... Brother Moore and I and several others will be present, and we're hopeful that you will be wanting to come and be with us at that time. Brother Noah Hackworth will be speaking for us at the luncheon tomorrow at noon at the Wyatt's Cafeteria. We certainly invite you to come. And I thank Brother McClish for mentioning our addition to the building. Brother Marion Taylor is going to be making some statements about that tomorrow, so we want you to hear all about that. Our lesson discussion for this evening, or this afternoon, is Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 through 21. And, of course, it gives us the theme of the Bible. That's the beauty of it. That's the excellency of it, because time and eternity are the theme of the Bible. When he says, look carefully, therefore, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. Those are exciting verses for the child of God because they draw before our minds something we wouldn't know unless we had the revelation of God. As we have learned this week, no doubt, and will learn throughout the week, this is a wonderful book, the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1 shows men who are in Christ Jesus under the headship of Christ. He gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Ephesians 2, those who were dead in their trespasses and sins, he's made alive in Christ. And he has blessed them, of course, with the things of being saved by the grace of God. Ephesians 3, Paul proclaims that he's given us the way that we can know how to live a wise life. Because what he has had revealed to him of the mystery of Christ, he has written it down so that each of us may know his understanding, he said, of the mystery of Christ. In Ephesians 4, we learn they're to keep themselves in the unity of the Spirit, That is, in that teaching which the Spirit has delivered through the apostles. He wants us to know there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God over all and through all and in you all. And he wants us to know in Ephesians 4 that we must not leave these things, but if we walk in maturity and wisdom, we will not be shifted away from them. He says, be no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but grow up in all things unto him who is head, even Christ. So as we see these four previous chapters, we understand the importance of the fifth. And actually, I suppose this is somewhat of a summation of everything Paul has thus far taught. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, if we look carefully how we walk, it certainly points us to the fact that we can walk in the wrong way. To walk in the Scriptures means to live. In 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light or live in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The evil can cause us to stumble if we're not looking carefully. I have friends who walk along and just a little rise in the sidewalk causes them to fall. You know, that's the way it is with foolish living. If you just walk along without direction and without guidance, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. But we are Christians. We have the enlightenment of the gospel. We have the pathway of righteousness. And we are to walk therein, not stumbling, not shifting our things in a wrong way, but looking wisely toward our lives. Look carefully, therefore, how you walk. Now, our spiritual eyes must be clear to perceive our walk. We must see the evil and avoid it. We must see the good and pursue it. And he that would love life, 1 Peter 3:10, and would see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him look for good. Let him eschew evil, avoid it, but let him practice good and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to our prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Though therefore we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As newborn babes, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is likened unto a wise man. Matthew 7:22 and 23, and throughout that chapter. But he said, when the winds blow and the storms beat upon that house, it won't fall, for it is founded on a rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is likened unto a foolish man, built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Now there's the real importance of wise living and foolish living. Are you building your house to stand for eternity? When he says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, is his word the foundation of your life? If it is not, don't you realize that the storms of eternity coming upon it and the mighty judgment of God is going to cause your house to fall? Everyone that useth milk, he said, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And when for time you ought to be teachers, Hebrews 5:12, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. We must commit these things to our thinking. We can't meditate day and night on the law of Jehovah without doing that. But blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and upon his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, the wicked ones of the world won't be thankful and will not offer unto God any allegiance. And that'll harden them more in sin. They will not walk in his way, and therefore they have the vanity of their minds to direct them. But we have something better. We have the directions of the Holy Spirit. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise but as wise. That includes the important use of our time, doesn't it? And he says, buy up the opportunities. In other words, here we are as people in the world. We have this item we can look at, or this item that we can look at in the marketplace. Which one will we choose? Will we buy up the real wise way of living, teaching others the way of life? You know, we're the light of the world. City set up on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, so that it shineth to all that are in the house. Even so let your light so shine, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We must use our time to the best advantage each day, each hour, that is possible to do. We need to be remembering whose servant we are, and look carefully how we walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time. We desire the greatest blessings for our fellow man. How can you greatly bless your fellow man? What greater blessing could there be than teaching him the way of life? Than showing him the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. Look carefully how you walk, not only then in relation to yourself, but look carefully how you walk in relation to others. In 1 Timothy 4:16, he said, take heed unto thyself and to thy teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Benjamin Franklin said, dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff that life is made of. We have observed the fact that God began time. Notice in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There is time beginning in the beginning. Beginning of marking our time. Man has to live under marked time. We have our hours, we have our moments, our days, our months, our years. But whatever be our moments of time upon the earth, we're looking for eternity. We're looking to stand in the great day of judgment with all the redeemed of all the ages. And that, of course, will only come if we fill our time with the right things. Time is filled, says the songwriter, with swift transition. Naught of earth can stand. Another says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Another says, swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are turning to years, and these bring to mind the regular basis of importance of using our time and moments wisely. Now, we're dependent upon God for all of our time. How much time would you have if God closed his hand of grace and mercy toward you? You'd have none. He could cut you off in a moment. And if we're wise, we'll get us a heart of wisdom. This is the end of the matter, Solomon said. All have been heard. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Each individual has a choice of how he's going to use his time. You have 24-hour days just like I do. You have 168 hours in the week just like everybody else does. But how you use them is what determines your wise or foolish walking. Many people, of course, kill time. Many people do not see the time as important, and so they do not use it to the fullest of their abilities and their opportunities, and they let those things go by until finally a lifetime is gone, and they look back and they say, where did it go? Why didn't I choose more wisely? Why didn't I look carefully how I walk and walk wisely? No doubt you've heard in the wedding services so often the song Sunrise, Sunset. I'm impressed with those words. It says, is this the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play? I don't remember growing older. When did they? Sunrise, sunset, swiftly the days, seedlings overnight to sunflower blossoms. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly fly the years, one season following another, laden with happiness and with tears. Sunrise, sunset. Oh, it is fast, isn't it? Job said, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He's like the flower. He's like the shadow. He also said, my days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle. Job 7:6, and as but a breath. In Job 9:25, now are my days swifter than a post, and they flee away. Jacob said, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. David expressed that great thought when he said, our days upon the earth are as a shadow, and there is no abiding. The wise man Solomon said, because man goeth to his everlasting home soon. Ecclesiastes 12:5. Well, when we come to the New Testament, the brevity of life is emphasized again. And that means that the brevity of time is emphasized. James 4 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will enter into such a city. We'll spend a year there. We'll buy, we'll sell, we'll get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. Don't leave God out of your plans, friend. And use your time as you have it in the direction which God gives. Well, how do we know how to use our time? Well, look at our text again. Look carefully, therefore, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, many people are saying we can't understand the Bible. We can't understand the will of the Lord. Oh, yes, we can. Or it wouldn't have been commanded. God never commanded man to do something he can't do. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, how do you understand what the will of the Lord is? Well, he said you'd be filled with the Spirit. Now, your former life is to be drunken, to walk in riot, and to live out of harmony with God's will. But understanding the will of the Lord causes you to put away drunkenness and the songs of the drunken bars. It causes you to put away those companions and everything that's sinful practice, and the excess of rioting you don't practice anymore, because now you walk in the Spirit's teaching. And so, being guided by the Holy Spirit, he directs our life in a spiritual way. Our activities are different. Our happiness is different. Our satisfaction is different. We live a noble life now. We live a life above the world. This is the victory over the world, even your faith, 1 John 5. So let the word of Christ, says Colossians 3:16, dwell in you richly in all things, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Don't you see the comparison between Ephesians 5:18 and Colossians 3:16? Be filled with the Spirit is a command. But how are we filled with the Spirit? That's the question on the lips of so many. Not a hard question when you make the comparison of inspiration. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be filled with the Spirit. That's not difficult, is it? Not at all, unless you want it to be difficult. Now, you can make that difficult. Many people do. They say, be filled with the Spirit. Therefore, I'm going to open up and wait for the Spirit to come down on me. But wait a minute, friend. Don't you want to understand what the will of the Lord is? And don't you know where all the will of the Lord is revealed? And don't you know that the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth? And don't you know that Paul wrote down his understanding of the mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3, so we could understand? Now understand what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit is a command, are you? In other words, are you letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Those two comparative verses then show us the word of the God of heaven came through the Holy Spirit, governs our lives, and therefore we're filled with the Spirit. And therefore we understand clearly what Romans 8:1-2 means. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who, describing them, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Spirit's teaching. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, no longer enjoying the intoxicants then of the world, and the ways of the world. We walk in the directives of the Holy Spirit's teaching. It's called his sword, Ephesians 6:17. Now, Ephesians 5:19-21 says we're to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord, and we're to speak one to another when we do it. If we speak one to another, of course, the intention of singing is carried out. Because in speaking, we edify. In speaking, we admonish. In playing, we don't do either one. But in speaking, we encourage, we praise, we glorify God. Speaking then, one to another, that's everybody singing. That cuts out solos, quartets, choirs, anything else except everybody singing. If not, why not? Speaking one to another. But what are we to speak? This specific command then excludes many things, but it also includes only speaking in song. singing and making melody in our heart. How joyous, how beautiful, how unifying was the singing this afternoon. You know, of all the things that I enjoy about lectureships, I enjoy hearing the Word of God. But I love to hear the singing. It is so beautiful. And we have so many good voices in this audience that are able to pour forth their praises from their hearts unto God in singing. Now, we're to sing because that's the specific command of Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. When I say specific command, I know that excludes everything except that. Had the command been here to make music, then we would have used any kind of music we so desired. But there are two kinds of music. There's singing and there is instrumental playing. What did the Lord choose here? The Lord said sing. Well, I want to play, but the Lord didn't say play. The Lord said sing. Well, I like it, but that's not it. The Lord said sing. What did he say? He said, sing. Can you understand that? We're supposed to understand what the will of the Lord is, aren't we? How do you understand the will of the Lord? Well, you look at the Spirit's teaching. Who was guided into all truth? The apostles were. Sing. I can understand that. Even a fellow like me can understand that. And I know Dub McClish. You see, I have an advantage over some. And I can understand that. Sing is what that says. Don't you read it that way? What are we to sing? Psalms, like the Psalms of David. You know the 150 Psalms in the Old Testament were their songbook. That's what they sang. Psalms, hymns, hymns of songs of praise. That's what it's talking about. And spiritual songs. Now, spiritual songs doesn't mean jazzy songs. Some people think when they read spiritual songs, they think that's jazzy. No, it's not jazzy, friend. It's songs that are in harmony with the Spirit's teaching. Spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. The only accompaniment here is our heart. And the heart's up here, friend. The heart's not down here that he's talking about. This is the Bible heart. Don't ever point down here for the Bible heart. This is the pump that pumps the blood through your arteries, but this is not the Bible heart. If you've got pain here, you better go see the old doc. You've been eating too much cheese and crackers before you go to bed. That's not what causes it here. It's up here that we have the change made. So sing and make melody in your heart. Where you will, where you think, where you reason. Sing with the understanding. Singing and making melody in your heart. Giving thanks always unto God. Now, there is continual thanks that pours forth from the Christian's heart because there are continual blessings. We are blessed so richly in Christ Jesus, and it shows a lack of thankfulness when we don't acknowledge ourselves to God in that way. We should not eat a meal except we bow our heads in thanksgiving unto our God. We should not get up in the morning lest we thank Him for giving us the breath and the life to live. Do you realize if you don't do that, you will go into idolatry? Now, you may say, oh, listen, that's too strong. Well, maybe so. But you know Romans 1, 21, 22 gives that as a reason for idolatry. He said, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. And that caused them to become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what will happen to one who's not grateful. If you're not grateful for your blessings, it may be those blessings will be cut off. We have Jesus Christ through whom we're to go to the Father. And Hebrews 7:25 says He ever liveth to make intercession for us. All acceptable prayer to the Heavenly Father has to go through Him. So this is the safe rule. And if you will be thankful, the peace of God is promised on that too. Philippians 4:6-7, He said, in nothing be anxious or worried. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, underline that, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. That brings us to Ephesians 5:21. And there is the expression of humility. I don't know of anything more needful to the Christian beside gratitude than humility. To be humble in mind and to be humble in life is more like the Lord than anything else. If you're not humble, then my friends, there's something wrong with your thinking. You're not walking in the wise life. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, we're in the midst of evil in our days, but we're to use the opportunities that are ours to serve the Lord, walking in the Spirit's teaching, singing and worshiping God acceptably, being thankful in all things, and submitting ourselves one to another. You know, that's an important part of praising God. Many people do not see that when they're in submission to others, they're praising God, but we are. Because we're showing ourselves to be like Christ. In Philippians 2, he humbled himself, becoming a servant. He didn't come to be ministered to, says Matthew 20:28, but to minister to others. Do you feel like that you serve others? Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get very tired. And we say, well, it looks like everything's for somebody else. Well, that's exactly the way it ought to be. When you're living wisely, it ought to be for somebody else. Self-centeredness is not Christianity. And when you only think of self, you're not denying self in order to follow Christ. Luke 9:23, he said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. So that's important. We need to remember this principle, humble subjection of Christians. Especially when things are indifferent. You know, there are a lot of things that we cause problems in the church because we're not willing to submit to others. When in things of opinion, don't be so strong about it. In things of opinion, allow others to have their way. You know, that's a contrast of living in the world, living in Christ. We've put on the new man. And that is a humble man. That is a man that doesn't have to have his way all the time. And, of course, in 1 Corinthians 11:3, Paul says the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Oh, I see. So in noticing this, we understand that there is headship that must be respected and that we have to subject ourselves, submit ourselves in certain ways to be in harmony with God's order of things. Now search out the place where you can serve the best and serve to the best of your ability. Use your time wisely. Learn to walk in a wise way. And this is one of the ways. You know, in God's wisdom in the beginning, he appointed man over woman, for instance. Now the women of the world don't always like that, but the godly women do. They realize that's the order of things. Man is the head over woman. Just as Christ is the head over man and God is the head over Christ. So that order of things must be respected unless we don't want happiness and final eternal welfare in life. So this principle applied from the beginning when Adam and Eve are told she would be submissive to her husband and he was to rule over her. You know, that's come over into the New Testament. It is to be true in the home. He's the head of the house. He is the husband of the house band. Now, he's not the head of the church, and he shouldn't try to run the things of the church. Let the Lord be the head there. But let man be the head of the home, and then also let it be that the husband realizes his rule of love. Now, Christ rules in the church, but his is also a rule of love. He is the head over all things to the church. Not only does that say that in Ephesians 1:22-23, but also in Colossians 1:18. And certain restrictions are placed, of course, on men and women in the church. 1 Corinthians 14, men are to keep silence if there is no interpreter. Women are to keep silence if a man is present. And in 1 Timothy 2, he said, I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man. Has that changed in the 90s? No. Hasn't changed in the 90s, and it won't change in the 2000s. And if we respect God's order of things, then we're going to remember in any action taken by a woman which puts her in a position of leadership over a man is forbidden in God's sight. So we need to be sure that we understand how to walk wisely. And if we look carefully how we walk, we can do that. We do not find in the New Testament anywhere where a woman served as a preacher in public, nor as an elder of the church or a deacon in the church. We do not find where she ever served in any public capacity. Indeed, she can sing in the public assembly. Indeed, she can confess the name of Christ before men. But she's not to take a leading role in the things that God has given us to do. how we commend godly women. We talked about Sister Siebert here in the beginning and others, and they do help in so many, many ways. What would we do without them? We just couldn't get along without godly women. The many works in the church, the multitudes of ways they help. Paul said he had women who helped him in the gospel. But it never did indicate that they were public preachers or public places over men in the church. And we should never allow that to happen now. Indeed, we trust that this study has helped us to understand better how to live wisely in this life. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Redeem the time. The days are evil. And be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Seek out the Spirit's guidelines. Understand the will of the Lord. Understand the mystery. Mystery is not something that is not understood or unintelligible, but it is something that is concealed until it is revealed. And now it's been revealed. And all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to us in the gospel. So let's be sure that we walk in the light of God's revealed truth. Let not a man say, oh, I'm guided by the Spirit, but it's not according to the Word. It's something in addition to the Word. Friend. Don't fall into that trap. Be filled with the Spirit. Know that that means let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And teach and admonish others to do the same. Don't waste your time in something that man has made. If you understand the will of the Lord, you will put your time, your money, your energy, your efforts into His cause. You'll walk before Him uprightly, and that's the way to wisely live. You won't live in superstition, ignorance, or sin, but you'll walk in the revealed will of God. That's the only hope that we have. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your money on something the Lord didn't make. Be sure that you prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Remember, you're a steward of the things God's entrusted to you. Your money, your time, your energy. All of those things you're going to answer for. We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive for the deeds done in the body, according to what he had done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So how important it is for us to redeem the time. Never kill time. Never waste time. But use it to the very best of your ability. It's short at its best. You see that house over there? Yesterday, some other children played on that house and on that porch. But today, there's a new family there. And tomorrow, there'll be another family there. You see, everything in this world is transitory, passing away. The world seeks to place us in its mold, and it wants us to follow what it says, but it comes out in death. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's not down here now, it's up here. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove by action, by obedience, what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And that's wise living. Thank you for your attention.